from runasradio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 750, Modern Work Using Teams with guest Carolina Kedakari. Recorded Thursday, November 5th, 2020. Run As Radio is produced each week by Sound Thoughts, LLC. For more information, visit soundthoughtsllc.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell, and thanks for listening to Run As Radio. Today, my guest is Carolina Kedakari, who is a modern work expert whose passion is inspiring customers to take advantage of the full spectrum of Microsoft 365. Her specialty is developing teamwork and internal communications with the help of Microsoft Teams, and she wants to enable and empower organizations to lead the charge from within. And Carolina is a Microsoft MVP and an active speaker in technology conferences and user groups. She loves the community, sharing knowledge and learning from others. I guess all the conferences these days are remote or online.
Yes, pretty much. I have done 28 conferences and user groups this year, and three were live, and all the others have been online.
Yeah, I mean, we're all getting better at video, I think. And it's kind of fun for me as an old school speaker to sort of be an amateur again and relearning things and experimenting with the technology and saying, like, what's the best way to use these mediums? But I think it's also challenging. I didn't think people could burn out of screen time if you were in this business, but everybody I know now is getting burned out of screens.
Yes. There are lots of more conferences than it used to be, which is in part of a good thing, but also people are maybe getting tired of all those different webinars, seminars, conferences that there always is.
I have a buddy for years and years ago who did tech support, and just straight up old-fashioned phone tech support. That's how long ago it was. And the one thing you couldn't get Adrian to do in the evenings was talk on the phone. I mean, he did it all day long. That was his job. He was not going to do it at night. And now I'm running into friends of mine who typically managers who are on Teams calls the entire day. And the one thing they're not going to do in the evening is get on another video conference for cocktails or anything. Like, that's, they don't want to do that.
Yeah. I heard too that many, many people have nowadays meetings back to back. And that's pretty tiring to be online to talk with each other, like 8 hours per day.
And no breaks in between. No time. You know, I think about in normal life when we're meeting physically, you actually have to move room to room. And perhaps you take a minute at the end of the meeting and make some additional notes and so forth. Like, it is interesting to think in terms of you need to build that stuff in. It's not just good record keeping. It's also keeping yourself sane, that you're not just slamming from one thing to the next.
I always try to say my coworkers and colleagues that you have to have your lunch break. You have to have your coffee break, because then your brains get awake.
Yeah.
And then when you step up, move a little, go and grab a cup of coffee, then you are ready to go to the next meeting.
I'm a big advocate of a book called The Power of Full Engagement. And one of the points they make in that book is this: we all have the same amount of time. There's no point in managing your time. It's about managing your energy. And that time is better used when you're energized. And so how do you go through those ebbs and flows of energy and recharge yourself and give yourself a break when it's appropriate so that you do have energy at the moments when it's needed?
Yeah, that sounds pretty wise. And I also read an article in this Finnish newspaper, and it was about a lady who like to just be and think in the middle of the working day. And I also thought that if I have this 8 hours, I'm at work, and I took, for example, my lunch hour, and I go outside, take a walk, breathe fresh air, then when I come back to work, I'm much more energized, I'm much happier, and I can be much more effective for the rest of the day.
Now, you're Finnish. I'm in British Columbia. We're both far enough north coming into wintertime now that I wonder if it's because we live in this environment. We're very conscious of get daylight when you can get it.
Yes.
Because even now, I mean, we're recording this in early November, and it'll be out in early December. It's dark in the mornings, and it's dark in the evening. Like, if you were still commuting to work, and I don't know that anybody is, you go to work in the dark, and you come home in the dark. And so, if you don't get outside at lunchtime, like, you simply not see any daylight.
Yeah, and that's what I also love about the IT IT industry, that you usually have the possibility to schedule your own working day and go outside, have those breaks during your day.
There is some flexibility there. You call yourself a modern work expert. Let's define what modern work is. That's an interesting idea all by itself.
It's also super interesting because 2018, 2019, it was called modern workplace.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to modern work.
And then suddenly, yes, now it's modern work because the work isn't in the workplace anymore.
Right.
It's at your home. It may be in the office. It can be at the library. Wherever you are, your work is also.
Interesting. Yeah. So is that part of them, when we say modern work, is that locality is sort of secondary? You should be able to work anywhere you want to work?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty important part of it. And I also like to think that modern work means that you are able to use your digital tools in the best way possible. You can use them efficiently. And you're, for example, it's not all about performing better. Mm-hmm. It's not all about being more effective. But it's also that you know which tool to use, which tool to use when, and you are happy with the devices you have.
Right.
So you have the knowledge to use those tools as well.
Yeah, I guess it comes down to what kind of tools we're really talking about here. Is it anything more than a laptop? That seems to be the sum total of tooling for work these days.
Yeah. Laptop is the pretty convenient one, but also mobile phones are a pretty big thing nowadays. And I think that's also something that came during this year, maybe during last year, that you really can, for example, take part in a conference call, take part in meeting at work with your mobile phone.
Right. Well, and you know, in coming from Finland, you'd know all about mobile phones, wouldn't you? But the form of communication has changed. I mean, who makes calls on phones anymore? That seems to be the last thing you do on a phone. It is more video and more complex communication as a whole. Do you find the video part important?
I think especially now when we are working remotely, video is super important. And I always, for example, have my video on when I'm calling to someone with Teams or with Zoom or whatever. But I think we have to respect the people who don't want to show themselves on video. Mm-hmm. And then we just have to go with that.
I'm also debate that there is an etiquette that's emerging around video on, video off. I feel if I'm leading a call, my video should be on. And often in that leadership role, that sort of indicates to others, your video should be on. That being said, I've seen very constructive meetings where the only video on was the person talking most of the time. There was this dynamic of turning it on, turning it off.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good point. That, for example, if you have a bigger group or meeting with a lot of people, maybe only the ones who are speaking have their video on, and then you can concentrate on those people and the presentation they are giving.
There is a point where those tiles get distracting.
Yeah, with all those snapcam backgrounds and potato filters and
yes. Well, I'm hoping it feels like the pandemic just amplified all of this. Like you were talking about the modern workplace 2018, 2019. Like suddenly it became so much more important, and we were all learning, we were all experimenting. I'm hoping now this many months into this, a lot of that experimentation is wound down. Like, too much visual noise matters. Snapcam is funny for like 15 minutes. Then it's done. Put it away. You know, it'll be funny again if you leave it alone for a couple of months.
I noticed the same because in March, in April, it was all about those video backgrounds, Snapcam filters, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And those were super, super popular for a couple of weeks.
Right.
And then same came like Teams backgrounds. People were using those for a couple of months. But nowadays, it's just blur or no background at all. So people get tired of all those visual extra fancy things.
I think, we're all tired. And minimizing the energy it takes to pay attention to someone now is the polite thing to do, which is an interesting emerging etiquette.
Yeah.
I see that. And it is an interesting part of that. You know, you want to be a good team member. We usually think about that in terms of listening and being respectful and so forth. But this, do not provide, minimize your visual noise when we're communicating. That's an interesting new element to being a good team member.
Yeah, sure. But also one thing I really love with the video is the together mode in Teams, because it's a pretty different concept. And I find it, people can find it a little bit funny because people are different sizes. People are in different lighting into together mode. But, I feel that in these remote times, that those kinds of things can really give you the sense of belonging and being in the same room together.
And so for folks who haven't seen this, together mode is everyone that's on the call and sort of on the screen at once.
Yes. Yes, in this Muppet Show.
I'm glad you made that reference. That's a very Western reference, the Muppet Show. I mean, it hasn't been on the air for years and years, but still, it is that effect. Yeah. Almost as if we are sitting in a movie theater together, but just sort of the heads, although the sizes, of course, get a little wonky. And if there's any time to turn on a snap cam, it's in a shot like that. But I don't think you'd correct me if I'm wrong, Carolina. I don't know that I'd use that for anything more than that. The same way you do a photograph of the group at the end of the conference or the end of the gathering. It's sort of a digital version of that.
Yeah, that's true. It's mostly used on taking group photos. But mm-hmm. I also used it, for example, if we have a small group of people. And we want to have, for example, panel discussions.
Interesting.
And then you can feel you are in the same room together and you can, for example, show your hand, raise your hand in your video,
mm-hmm.
or you can vote like thumbs up, thumbs down in your video. And that's a great thing to try.
It's interesting. Okay. But for a particular, I'm someone who's hosted many panel discussions, and there is a very specific communication dynamic, especially on stage, to put 3-4 people in a line and moderate with that and have that conversation. So to create that visual effect in Teams is interesting. I think it's important. Like, it does create its own dynamic. Is it all? Yeah, of course, we're talking mostly about Teams, and clearly Teams in the past few months has evolved tremendously. Do you think it's always gone the right direction? Like, it's interesting to see what features have appeared and disappeared. Like, they do trying to figure things out. I do hear the noise of folks frustrated with Teams. It's like, hey, they moved my cheese. Like, where did this go?
Yeah, the thing with the cloud is that it's ever changing. Mm-hmm. So, for example, many customers want these super detailed instructions, like where to push which button.
Right.
And it's no use to make those because the button is in a different place, like 2 weeks or 3 months from now.
Right. I mean, yeah, software as a service means they can change it anytime they want. And I'm probably going to have to go get a senior person from Teams and go and talk about the cost of this, because when you move those things around, like, productivity is impacted. Like, there's a period where people are scrambling to find things in any product. I'm not just going to pick on Teams for that with this SaaS model. Do you see folks frustrated when stuff moves around like that, or do they recover quickly?
It depends, because people's digital skills vary very mm-hmm. much. So people who are used to working with computers, used to working with Teams, it's okay. They know how the cloud works.
Mm-hmm.
But then we have this huge group of people who know just the basics.
Right.
And they are in trouble when the button moves to another place. This is also one of my favorite topics, because, for example, Teams implementation should never be about the buttons. It should be how can you use Teams in your teamwork or in your internal communication. So how can you use it? Why should you use it? And not about which button to push.
That is a great thought. And I'm going to interrupt for one moment for this very important message.
This episode of Run As Radio is brought to you by the Humanitarian Toolbox. Humanitarian Toolbox builds open source software for disaster relief organizations. One of the leading projects called AllReady focuses on getting volunteers into the right place at the right time using cloud and mobile technology. HTBox builds and operates this and other applications on behalf of a variety of disaster response organizations, and they need your help. Go to htbox.org for more information or to make a tax-deductible donation. HTBox is a 501c3 U.S. registered charity.
And we're back. It's Run As Radio. I'm Richard Campbell, and that's Carolina Katakare. And I'm probably mispronouncing that, and I apologize. And we're talking, you know, we've been talking about Teams automatically. I think people misunderstand what Teams even is anymore, because it's so many things. Like, how do you describe Teams to someone who hasn't used it?
That's a good question, because I think that Teams is a hub for teamwork, and it pretty much collects everything you need in your knowledge work inside one window, inside one place. So you have your messages, you have your meetings, you have your files, you have your plans, you have your meeting memos, and nowadays you can also have your workflows, applications inside Teams. So it's pretty much everything you need in your knowledge work. And that makes it pretty difficult because, for example, when I interview end users, about their internal communication or about their teamwork. And then I always ask that, are you using Teams? And the people are, yes, of course we are using Teams. And I'm always, yes, that's awesome, that's great, tell me more. And then the employees tell me that they are having meetings in Teams.
Right.
And maybe they have some chats in Teams. And that's it.
Right.
But Teams is so much more. And I think the difficulty comes that how to get people to recognize all of those possibilities it has to offer.
And just before the break, you were talking about folks that are not as digitally comfortable as some of us are. And now being thrust because of the pandemic into you must communicate through this technology. Like really trying to help them take advantage of Teams, because it's almost excluding if we don't get them up to speed and taking advantage of some of the stuff. They're not going to be part of these meetings, part of those interactions.
Yeah. There is this picture going through the internet that who has been the main digitalization factor in your company during this year. So has it been the CEO, CIO, or COVID?
Right.
And yeah, of course it has been COVID, because it has forced everyone to be on Teams, to be remote, and given the basic technology you can use. But yeah, then again, maybe all of the companies hasn't think about how to coach people on really to use Teams in the best possible way. And then there can be people who feel they are left out, who don't get the information they need, and who are very alone at their homes right now, because they don't feel the togetherness they had before in their own workplace.
Yeah, I think folks that are used to communicating around the water cooler, metaphorically, it's something. I mean, I've worked with remote teams long before the pandemic, and we very consciously, as leaders, constructed a digital water cooler, a place that was to put the non-business focused sort of social communication that normally happens in a business. I would think that folks that were struggling, it's like, that's one of the first things you want to put in front of them. It's like, hey, by the way, here's where water cooler talk lives. And look, they're talking about the latest sports ball event, whatever that may be. Just to try and get them comfortable with not just the work parts of these tools.
Yeah, and it takes some active. You have to be active, so it just doesn't happen by itself. People are used to write work emails. People are used to having work-related meetings. But if we want to have those water cooler discussions, or in Finland we have those coffee break discussions.
Coffee break, yeah.
So then you have to be active and you have to create those coffee break meetings or that water cooler channel in your teams.
Interesting, yeah. And I think it's part of our responsibility as the technical people, make sure there are places to think. So they're going to happen one way or the other. But also to help lead those that aren't as comfortable with the obvious etiquette and places they're going to be comfortable in. You know, one of the metaphors that's emerged for me using Teams more than ever before is this idea of recurring meetings make more sense now. You know, once you create that meeting in Teams, the recurring one falls in exactly the same place. Like literally getting there a few minutes before the meeting and seeing the last things we talked about the previous times. It's just such a constructive metaphor. I don't know any other example like that, except maybe a tool like Slack. For exactly the same reason, this idea that repeated meetings stay in the same place, and so all of those materials are in the same place. You know, for someone like me dealing with scrums, software developers, the fact that we write out those last few agreements at the end of the call, and then possibly during the week, throw a few more things in there as we found stuff out so that we spend less time sort of figuring out what we talked about last week, because it's all right there. I think it's a really strong way to approach it.
Yeah, and I think it's all about the context. So you have your team, you have your channel, you have your recurring meeting, and you can find all things related to the team or all things related to a project within the one channel, within the one meeting. Many times people ask, want to know that where is this document or where is this piece of information? And if the information is in your email box or in my email box or in his network storage drive or in her OneDrive, it's impossible to find. But when we have the context for all of our files, all of our meetings, all of our conversations, it makes the work easier.
Mm-hmm. And now I'm also finding that the way Teams works in a mobile device versus on my desktop machine is also an important part of these metaphors too, that there are things that are actually easier to do in the phone than they are on a regular PC, very much around images. You know, I'm using Teams with my wife to walk through some changes we're going to make to the house, and the fact that I can keep those pictures there, and it's trivial to take them and store and include them in the conversation. I just think of all the workflows that would tie to in different kinds of businesses.
Yeah, that's awesome. And for example, if you are talking about using Teams with your mobile phone, you have those features you have had, for example, in WhatsApp, you can swipe right to reply to a message. You can take voice memos. You can take a picture and send it as you do. And it brings the free time much closer to your work devices and working tools.
Right. So at the same time, we can work all of the time and in all of these different mediums. And then I think we started this conversation with, but make sure you take some breaks too.
It gives the possibility, but with the possibilities comes also the responsibility. That even if you have, even if you can't work all the time, you must not do it.
Yeah, there is a price to be paid there. And so, it's almost an intentionality. I'm finding myself putting blocks in my schedule on Outlook that are walk the dog, not just because the dog needs walking, because he does, but also that I need to go for a walk too. That it's not just what other people want in my schedule. It's things that I need.
Yeah. And now when we are working remotely, your calendar can fill up very easily.
Sure.
Because people just see your calendar, they see, oh, there is a free slot, and they will send you an invite to some meeting. So it may be a good thing that you reserve some time in your own calendar for walking the dog or having lunch or just taking a break.
I think I need to invent a rule that once someone takes a time block that they need me for, that the 15 minutes after that is automatically blocked. You know what I mean?
That's a great idea. Yeah, I think it's a great idea. And I also think that see, my analytics in Microsoft 365, it has those possibilities that it, for example, can reserve lunch breaks for you, or it can reserve, for example, some focus time in your calendar. And those are also things that you can test and try out.
I do like the weekly analytics I get from Office 365, just saying, hey, here's who you're interacting with the most. And then that whole discussion about, are you taking time for yourself? Are you taking meals for yourself? That sort of thing. Just to make you more aware of what you did in a given week and whether it's all the things you wanted to do.
Yeah, that's true. It also has to, for example, statistics for have you started your meetings on a time or have you been late to your meetings? And those can be sometimes pretty terrifying to watch.
I do like this idea now. I'm really gnawing on this automatic when a meeting gets blocked, taking a chunk of time before and after 5, 10, 15 minutes just because you need prep time, because you need to get organized, and gives you some cushions so you're on time for things as well. The tool right now is set up to make you do back-to-back meetings. I think we need to fix that. The same way Teams seems to have fixed repeating meetings, staying in context, the keeping control of our time and making sure we have time to focus is also an important part of, you know, the tool could be better there.
Yes. Of course, some companies have used the 45-minute meetings. So instead of you always book the 60 minutes for your meeting, you can set, for example, Outlook to book 45-minute long meetings. And that's also a nice way to always have that 15 minutes between your meetings or calendar blocks.
Interesting, yeah. I mean, that's something we do for Runaz, as I always block out an hour for a half-hour show. But that's also learned that I'm trying to get a half hour, and there's a little bit of preamble, a little bit of postamble, but there's no downside to giving back 10 minutes at the end for anything, I think. Like, that's always a good thing.
Yeah, people are always happy if things end before time.
Yeah, well, doing things to time seems to be the mistake now. Doing things to a goal. I think the pandemic's made it very clear to us that putting in the time is not never been a good metric. Putting in the goals has been the metric we really need to focus on. And, and that's a whole set of shows I've done already. We've had those conversations about, you know, how do you measure work when folks aren't in the office?
Yes. Because I don't know, at least in the beginning of this year, some leaders were very concerned that I cannot watch my employees now all the time when they are not here in the office physically. So how can I know that they are really working?
Wow. It seems so archaic now. Like, that's right out of 18th century English factory thinking, where the output is them being at the machine pulling the levers. And now it's just a cubicle with a keyboard.
But it's still reality in some workplaces. And I think there are still lots of discussion that, for example, how many days can you be remote? And how many days you have to be in the office for some mystical reason.
Yeah. And it's certainly a conversation that we're having ongoing about the one day a week we get together physically as a team, properly physically distanced, because I've decided I'm fighting against the social distance term. I don't want people to be socially distanced. You just need to be physically distanced for safety reasons. But I'm also finding that when we do want to be in each other's presence, it's for specific tasks. I think physical meetings now are kind of precious.
Yeah.
And so what couldn't we do on Teams that is better served in person? Have you sort of discerned that?
Yeah. I really appreciate seeing people live, seeing my coworkers live. It feels actually funny that I haven't seen any of my community friends almost for a year right now, like just through a video. But it's true, like the live time, face-to-face time has become pretty valuable.
Yeah, it's just a question of what is best served from that. Working in leadership groups, every so often we take the senior leaders away for a retreat. And it was sort of a no connectivity. And, the real justification I ever had for that was we need to make a decision that is difficult in some way, unpleasant perhaps as well. And that's the only justification for the retreat. Like it can't be done in the conventional sense. So recognize the conventional way of meeting today is digitally, you know, over Teams. What are the things we have to do in person that are not well served digitally? I can only think it's got to be that hard decision.
That's a nice idea. Yeah. So is this meeting valuable enough that we have to meet in person?
Yeah. And essentially take a risk. It's really what you're talking about during a pandemic. Not a big risk, but it's still a risk. You know, the meeting itself might be the risky part, but the getting there, all of those pieces involved to get to that moment. So I would also think that it's a very well-prepared meeting. Like, you shouldn't need to go over the fundamentals at that point. Everybody should be up to speed on it. It's about having the conversations that can bring us to a decision, whatever that may be. That's, again, best served in person in the sort of full fidelity of physicality.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I know. These are the things I worry about, for better or worse. But, I see a very common pattern emerging these days where it's like 4 days a week working from home, 1 day a week in the office. And the pressure's actually on that 1 day a week. It's like, why that 1 day? Like, it just seemed like easy math, but it's like, what am I going to do in that day that makes that office time make sense?
Yeah.
You know,
that's an interesting point because, for example, I have been into office maybe 2 days per week. Mm-hmm. And, I haven't really thought about it, that why I'm going to the office and what kind of meetings I have. Maybe, of course, this week I got 2 new team members.
Right.
So, of course, I wanted to be at the office and see them live and, talk face to face for some time.
Mm-hmm.
But now for the rest of the week, I've been remotely at home and, I've still had meetings with them. I've had meetings with my customers and, everything has gone pretty well.
Yeah.
But, I think I also have to, like, maybe think a bit more about the, time I spent, at the office.
Yeah. I mean, I totally appreciate getting out of the house, moving around, but and in some ways we're just excusing the office because it's that. But I'm also thinking in the context of if I were leasing a bunch of office space, and I'm looking at this new modern work environment where people are going to continue to work from home. Like sooner or later, these leases are going to come up, and it's a question of like, do you keep that much space? You know, you pack people in pretty tightly, which you can't do, at least for the duration of the pandemic. Do you even need that space anymore? Do you shrink it down? Is it just all hot swapped meeting spaces now and a little bit of administration?
That's an interesting point. And it can also be that the office spaces will change in the future. So maybe you don't have those large workrooms anymore. You have meeting spaces, you have your cafeteria, you have smaller and larger spaces people can collaborate on or have meetings on.
Mm-hmm.
But all that work you do by yourself with your computer, you can do that at home.
Yeah. And the tools are getting good enough now, it feels, that is still, you are as productive. I'm now, and I'm almost thinking in the other context that I will be less productive in the office space than I am in my private workspace with my bigger screens and my better gear and Teams.
Yes. And also at the moment, when you are so rarely at the office, so when you get to the office, everyone are, oh, hi, let's have a chat.
Yes.
Let's have a meeting. So your time also goes to the water cooler discussions.
Yes.
And not to your work.
And I'm not going to say anything bad about that either, because I think that's also how you strengthen a team, right? You essentially, any time in the office with your team would then be team building time, which is necessary. Yes. It makes all the other time valuable and productive. But it's also not a time to necessarily move the ball forward or over our work. That's strengthen the team so the rest of the work will be better, as opposed to we do the work from our remote spaces.
I really like the team building time concept. That was a good one.
I think it's very important. And it's something, you know, I talk about personally as a communicator too. is that very conscious efforts into strengthening teams. Because I think we've challenged our teams a lot the past few months. And that, in some ways, that's also a validation of a strength of the team. But those genuine team building exercises, those times when, and in the end, when strengthening a team is just increasing the level of trust. So that's all communication, which you can do digitally, but I think is better served in person.
There are some points and perks being live still.
Yeah.
Even if you have all those devices and all those tools to do it digitally.
Yeah, it's true. Well, really fun conversation, Carolina. It does feel like a very different workplace or work spaces now. And it does, I don't think it's going away. So I appreciate your thoughts on this. We'll see what the folks think. Like, we'd love the feedback on this show too, as you know, what tools you're using. Teams is certainly a great one, and I feel like it's stepped up these past few months to be a better and better team collaboration tool. But it's far from finished.
Yes, thank you, Richard. It was fun being here, and I think this is a very valuable topic. And as you said, this isn't going away.
Not anytime soon.
So when we are thinking about all these new rules and all these new things we are doing, we have to start also thinking that how we can make those in a durable way and in a sustainable way. So we can do those in 2021, 2022, and in the future as well.
Awesome. Carolina, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Richard. It's a pleasure.
And we'll talk to you next time on Run As Radio.